Welcome to episode 55 of Yins Are Good, the podcast that shares and celebrates all of the good stuff going on out there and all of those good people who are making that good stuff happen. I am your host, Tressa Glover. Thank you for listening in today, whatever day today is for you. I hope you and yours are doing well. And you know, we're a couple of weeks past it now, but I do have to share that I received a Mother's Day card for the second year in a row from Hazel. Now, for those of you who are first-time listeners, welcome to the show, first of all, and I hope you enjoy it and continue to listen. Hazel is our dog. She's a mini Australian Shepherd. And from time to time, she'll send me an email about the show. And sometimes, as in this case, she'll send a card. She's very sweet and smart. I mean, we always knew she was smart, but somehow, I mean, you know, sometimes she takes it to another level. And I did receive another Mother's Day card. I honestly do not know how she does it or who may be helping her, but I am very grateful indeed. So thank you, Hazel. Yins are good. And if you, dear listener, ever want to get in touch about the show, or if you want to share an act of kindness that you were on the receiving end of, or if you want to thank someone who makes your life better, who lifts you up, just send an email to yinsaregood@gmail.com and I'll share it on the show. Speaking of folks who lift us up, my featured guest today, Melanie Salvatore August, my goodness, she is helping so many of us. She wears a lot of hats. Not literally. Sorry, that image just made me giggle for a second. She is an author, a yoga meditation teacher. She's founder of the Fierce Kindness Organization. She's a mom. And she brings joy and light to anyone who's lucky enough to know and to work with her. And her most recent book, which we're going to talk about, is currently a Forward Indie Book Award finalist. She was born and raised right here in Pittsburgh, PA. And as a matter of fact, we knew each other as teenagers. We were friends. And it's been a few decades since we've spoken. So our conversation was soul-filling in so many ways, as was the way that we came to be reconnected, which you'll hear about as well. And then Don, I mean, he's back for another Name That Neighborhood segment. Will he sing again in this episode? Who knows? We never know. So why don't we get to it all? Yes? All right, let's get to all this good stuff. Hello, Mel.
Hi, Tressa.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. How are you? It's so nice to hear your voice already.
Yeah, totally. I'm good. I'm super stoked to be on the other line with you right here.
Yeah.
I was thinking back and I was like, I don't know the last time we were together like in person. So mm-hmm. I figure it was sometime like, because I think I graduated a couple years ahead of you.
You were a senior when I was a freshman.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I just heard a tone of your voice that I remember so well.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's such a lovely thing. And didn't we do some really fun children's theater together?
Oh, we did. Yes, Act One Theater School. And that's how, and you used to drive me there because I couldn't drive yet. And you used to take me.
Did I?
Maybe Saturday. When did we? I
Yeah,
think it
I
would have been
don't.
Saturday. I think it was a Saturday class.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. I hope I was nice.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? But you were so generous and you were so easy to talk to. And especially with that,
Oh.
because you rolled, you were a senior. I was a freshman and I was new too, because I had gone to the little Catholic school through 8th grade and then got to Hampton. Not that Hampton was that big, but to
I
me it
know,
was,
right?
right? And so, oh, you're always just such a special person to me. I mean,
Awesome. Well, and I feel the same way about you, so I'm so glad you say that because I remember just thinking you were the coolest. And now look at you. You're proving that all over the place. You're just the coolest. Yins are good. What a great name.
thanks. But what, look at you. Okay, so you and I are friends on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook that often at all. So,
Me too.
right. So I'm rarely on there, but I know at some point along the line we were friends on there. So I knew a little bit about you and what you were doing. I think maybe I was familiar with yoga, that part of it. And then this was, well, what would it, maybe 2 months ago now, I had a dream and my mom, and I don't know if you know, but my mom passed away last March suddenly.
Okay.
And I had this dream, and she's been in a lot of my dreams. But she's in my dream and you were with her. And I don't, but like she was, and everything was very pleasant. And I remember waking up and being like, Melanie Salvatore is in my dream and with mom. So what is my mother trying to tell me? I was like, okay. And I was on Instagram for Yins Are Good and I was searching you there and I found you there. And I said, oh, and then I saw, I hadn't known about Fierce Kindness, the is organization a fair name or word to put to it? And it was Fierce Kindness and reading what that was about. And I just had chills because here I am, doing this podcast that's about kindness and goodness. And I'm always, talking to people about coming on the show and who should be on the show. And it all made sense in that moment. And I was like, got it. And that's when I put it on my schedule to reach out to you. But then you reached out to me first, which is like the end. That's just for me, just completes that whole story.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I'd had a hit and I thought, oh man, like I'd love to do that. Oh, I should just write her, and then it was like, oh, how perfect. And Tressa, that's how I live my life. That's one of the main things I have learned over all these years, to live as I call by spirit. I live by spirit.
Oh, I love that. I never thought to phrase it that way. I just feel in so many ways that it was time for us to be in touch again for real, you know?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I feel like it's always a process of awakening a bit more. But now, as adult women with all the experience and to come back, because I believe we probably have a lot of harmony between us and could harness a lot of fun things.
Agreed. Oh, I totally agree. I am just so happy to be talking to you, let alone to be talking to you to have you on the show and to share you and everything you're doing for people with
Awesome. Thank you for
everybody.
that. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you.
And where do we even start? Because you just do so many things so well and are helping so many people in so many ways.
Thank you for
And
that.
oh my gosh. And so I'd love to if we just can just start talking about your journey. So, and I already have mentioned to the listeners a little bit about you, but and tell me if this is a fair assessment, but you're an author, which we're going to talk more about. And I'm holding your new book in my hands, by the way.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you for
Oh, I
that.
got it right here. Oh my gosh. Love it. So, an author, a yoga meditation teacher, a Reiki master, and then, as I mentioned, founder of Fierce Kindness. You're a mom. You have three boys. Oh,
Yeah, I do.
let's just open it up. Where would you like to start, just as far as your journey and how you've been led to what you're doing now?
I'm so grateful, and just I feel very blessed. And along this, path of life, which, I figure we all have our own, kind of our own story, our own hero's journey as well. There was a lot of lostness. There was a lot of despair. There was a lot of like, I don't know what to do to learn, grow, seek, spiral back to a place of, I still don't have the answers, and I'm able to regulate myself and, in some way, in my own little corner, I think try to be helpful. And when I try to be helpful, it helps me. I hope it's helpful to someone else as well. So it's just this reciprocal kind of thing that moves. And I'm just deeply grateful, because the more I've relaxed, the more I've let go of preconceived ideas of what I should be and the effort into that, the more my life has opened up, kind of like blossomed. And I don't take any of it for granted.
That's the gratitude. The older I get, the more I really understand the full meaning of it, I guess, is the way to say it. But really trying to embrace that as much as possible.
Yeah. To me, it's a state of being.
It's an awareness, right? Like I feel just aware of every day what to be grateful for and to let people know. Say thank you when you can and let them know that you appreciate them when you can.
It moves life force. When things are stuck or stagnant, it's like anything that should be moving. We know when it stagnates, it becomes unhealthy in some way. And I feel like life force energy, just all that is of what we are in this universe, it has a constant movement to it. And I feel like the gratitude, the action of gratitude, the state of being of gratitude helps move what is stagnant.
And so, okay, so I, and as we talked about, we share the Act One theater school bond. Also the High School Musicals, and especially coming in, you were the lead. Well, I remember seeing you when I was in eighth grade, because I believe coming to see the high school show, and you did Anything Goes,
No,
Rhythm Makes Sense,
you did
Baby.
anything.
Oh my gosh, you were so good. And then my freshman year, you were the lead in Once Upon a Mattress.
Was, I mean, to get to play what Carol Burnett did, like, come on, like, that was the
Right?
best ever.
Oh my gosh, you were so good. It was so good.
You're very
So,
kind.
oh my gosh, please. So my memories, especially, are so tied to that with you. And I know you went on to study theater and and you work as an actor. So what how did your life evolve and did you get into the work that you're doing now in whatever way you'd like to share that?
Sure. The most real thing about the journey, well, it's not the real thing, but the most, to me, the funny thing that brings me back is that when I was 12, 13, I spent a lot of time at Walden Books. Do you remember Walden Books? I think it was at Ross Park Mall.
Yes, it was. I do remember
So
it.
I would scour Walden Books, and they had like a new age area, and it was right borderlines the occult area. And I won't pretend I read everything in that whole double section. And so, I would get the little meditation book or the book on spirit guides or whatever, and I'd, run home, I'd devour up in my room. And Shakti Gaywan, book Creative Visualization, I read that book when I was 13, and it changed my life. It was all about seeing, visualizing, cultivating within the minefield, and then with skilled action outside the minefield, creating and using affirmations. And so I feel like that, that's the truth is that's where always my heart has been earlier than that. It was always interested in kind of what I would say the spirit world or mystical or, and I was also like, I think maybe you could, just from us knowing each other, say like, I have a very tender heart, right? Super tender heart. And one of the skills I realized I had, maybe because I was goofy, I who knows, but I I would help my family engage and laugh, and sometimes not laugh because I was irritating them, right? Because like anytime anyone got in front of the television and everybody, we'd watch television, I would feel like they were checking out. And I realize now, looking back at the time, who knows what I thought I was doing, but I would get up and like block the TV and dance and do whatever. And my mom is like, "Oh, you're a natural performer, right?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm a natural performer." So that just seemed like that my, if my mom says it's so, and I do like that they're laughing, and I really want them to pay attention. So maybe that is the way I go. So that led me into art school, right? And there was a lot about art school. I went to a program that was deeply into the process of how to make art and how to deprogram what has been taught to you that's not helpful. Kind of they called it neutralize, how to neutralize and then step into humanity to be able to mirror that, right? So, not the idea that maybe some people think like, oh, actor, you're putting on characters, like, yes, but really it's more like I'm stripping away things that maybe aren't helpful about me or getting in my way, right? So interesting process. And then as I moved in, I lived in LA and New York, my heart was broken. Like it was not a kind world. It was not a kind world, right? And I would, I'd be like, all I want, first off, like all I want is to get this job. And then every once in a while, I would actually get that job that it was like everything to me. And there would be a high to it. And then there would be a crashing low to it. And then I think, was it really, really all that? Like, did I enjoy it so much that I can't wait to do it again? And I'd be like, no. No, and the daily, the process of this is like it's just not me. And so there was a lot of despair there. I didn't know where I belonged. I didn't know how to be who I felt like I needed to be. And it was, I happened into a yoga class, and which was, a bizarre experience in itself because it was a dark room with red lights.
Oh my
Yeah,
God.
I know, in Manhattan, with a teacher I can't really even recall other than his beard. So I had like no idea what was going on. But at the end of it, I laid down with everybody else, this thing called right corpse pose, and my brain stopped for a second, like the despair paused. Let's push a button of pause on the despair. And I had like a moment of relief. And so that kept bringing me back. So I was like, I was one moment, and then it was 5 moments, and then it was 20 minutes, and then it was like a whole hour after I practiced. And then, so I came back to myself, really. I feel like the entertainment stuff was, I needed to learn skills on how to talk and how to get out of my own way, to be helpful for other people. I think that was a very long answer. Sorry.
I love it. And you can keep talking if you want. I it all makes sense to me.
I love you.
Oh, I love this. And I was nodding my head, so much, this being an audio show and all, but I was nodding my head to so much that you were saying, because I the actor in me, really over the past couple of years, even right before COVID, I was beginning to feel. So many things that you were saying about the industry and about that life, and especially when you spend so much of your life training for it and doing it, and there are wonderful parts of it, of course, but so many of the things that you said just resonate so much with me, that journey, and as more time goes by, and wanting doing something more, right? Helping, connecting with folks in a different way.
Totally hear you. I totally hear you. And I feel like there is a really powerful opportunity within the art of acting, within the art. I feel like really it comes back to that almost like the storyteller of the tribe, almost like shamanic. Like it is the being who is the medicine woman, the medicine man. And I feel like the essence of that, I deeply, powerfully connect to. The process of waking that up in kind of like this modern society, I feel is valuable. It also, I feel like in some ways it makes a regular human into a superhero. Like you go out of the entertainment world and you step into the normal world, and it's like, whoa, like you're present and you're
Yes.
alive, and that's fantastic. And there is, as it is a perfect mirror for society, there's much, let's say 75%, I feel like I'm being very conservative, of the entertainment world that is putting out junk food. So it's just like happening in our food system, is happening in our entertainment. And so I think that it does bring out a superficial or a low vibration. And what I mean by that is a vibration that is anchored in fear, versus a vibration or thought patterns that is held in love. Not always, but often, sometimes, let's say sometimes.
Yeah. And so then how did you going from the room with the red light, which the imagery in my head is fantastic. but so what title do you use regarding?
Gosh, I don't even know. I mean, like, and sometimes I feel like, because, with all the actor training, the Alexander technique, the Reiki, all the stuff that I've explored and kind of integrated and woken up within me over the many years, sometimes I'm even like, is it even yoga? Like, is it yoga asana? Like, have I shifted so far away from this lineage? Should I even call it yoga? It's just like healing energy work. It's joy work. It's opening up the creator inside, right? Whatever you want to call it. But how did I get there? By following my intuition. That's how I got to where I am right now, and suffering deeply when I didn't.
Yeah, listening to ourselves.
And it comes in so many forms, right? I mean, it could come in words. It comes in feelings for many of us. It comes in, I call them holograms. I get a visual flash, in my inner eyes. One of the, I don't know, they call them CDs in yoga, SIDDHIS. CDs in yoga are considered like special powers. And, special powers are also like, okay, clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience. And I believe we all have those special intuitive, we all have that. It's just how sensitive are we to it, and how much, like you mentioned, your dream, you heard it, you saw it, you processed it, you followed it, you believed it, you trusted it. You know what I mean? So I think that takes a lot of experience for many of us.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that we're all capable, and I also understand why it's difficult for some people to understand or embrace it, or
For
I
sure.
understand, But I knew as soon as I woke up, I said to Don, I said to my husband, I was like, Okay, so I have to go down a rabbit hole right now because my mom is trying to tell me I know there's something that I'm supposed to connect with her.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, and I'm curious. Yeah, I'm very curious and listening, like the channel's open. I feel like there are certain fierce kindness in itself came from, kind of like well, I call them downloads. But it was like very quiet after doing a yoga practice, and I literally heard a voice in my head, and I giggled because I hear this voice all the time. So like my husband and a lot of friends close to me will be like, "Yep, the voice. We know the voice." But the voice said, "Fierce kindness. You are to make fierce kindness." And I was like, "Did anyone hear that?" And I was like, "And I still feel like I have not yet fulfilled. I just got it started, right? And it takes breaks and things because it." I think fierce kindness is a big thing to live up to. So I'm still trying to like grow up to live up to it, and also just kind of surfing time, because I feel like there is going to be a time where the doors will open for fierce kindness in whatever way it's supposed to show up and be of service. And that book and that message, and I think there's something else actually that it needs to evolve in some way to be more helpful.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And so how would you describe, what fierce kindness is, or a tagline for it, if you will?
Fierce kindness is metta seva. Metta being self-love and kindness, and seva being selfless service in the world. And at the same time, like they're not, it's not like one then the other. It's both simultaneously. And as well as the act of shifting the inner conversation within yourself, which to me is the most difficult thing to do. Like that metta is change the inner conversation, shift it from fear to love. It's a hard one. I mean,
It's a
we
tough
can
one.
help other people, yeah, but like, actually witnessing our own inner conversations and our own meanness, judgment within ourselves, and then actually doing something about it is very hard.
Important though.
Essential. I mean, I'm really seeing it with my, now I have a 15-year-old and a almost 13-year-old. And it's like, I know what happened. Just at a 10, 9, and 10, they were just like themselves so much, and they bebopped around the house. And now they're just like, I'm ugly, I'm awful. I'm like, no. I'm like, have you read this book? It's called Fierce Kindness. Like I literally bribed one of them to read it. I was like, if you read this, I'll buy you that shirt. It didn't do much, but so I feel like that might be where it's like, how can I or maybe rewrite now that I know more about preteens and teens and
Oh my.
be more of service.
And so, yeah, so there's, I mean, you've written w more than one book, as you're referring to. So there's Fierce Kind. What is the full title of Fierce Kindness?
Fierce kindness, be a positive force for change.
And well, let's talk about the current book that is actually an Indie Book Award finalist. Woohoo is right. I want to talk about this. And then, of course, you're going to tell us how to find these books. Okay, whatever you want to say, just tell us about this book. I'm staring at it, but I have to admit, I have not read the book yet,
Well,
but I got it a couple days ago.
they at least we cut it down because it was 400 pages, and then we
Oh
cut it
my.
quite a bit. So, I realize now that it was a little over the top. I was excited. I was really excited. So, yoga to support immunity, mind, body, breathing guide for whole health. It came about because, so my very first book is called Kitchen Yoga. That's my very first book. And I had a very amazing, sweet publisher contact me while I was in labor with my third son, saying, "Hey, do you want to write a book?" And I was like, first of all, publishers don't do that. So, like, this is not real. And second, I'm in labor. So maybe we'll see. So let me contact you after there's a baby and I'll get back to you. And that's what happened. So anyway, I wrote that first book with the said baby on my lap and the other not quite in kindergarten guy watching Sesame Street and the other kid thankfully in school. And during that time, I was really pushing beyond my capacity, right? So the book, three kids, husband had a new job, gone all the time, nursing, like everything kind of dropped out. And what really happened was my thyroid went game over. That's it. And I actually went into pneumonia. I had double pneumonia in both lungs,
Oh
and
my
I
gosh.
did deliver that manuscript. I was like, "And send," as I died on the floor, and I'm dead, right? So that was, gosh, is it 8 years? Yeah, so that was 8 years ago, and I'm like, "That's it for that." And so during my exploration, I wasn't healing from the pneumonia. Like I couldn't move. Like I was just so very sick. With enough kind of tests and stuff, we realized that I was working through Hashimoto thyroiditis, which is a autoimmune, and it can be, quite debilitating at times, right? It's one of those where like the bottom drops out, like you have no energy. I couldn't get out of bed. I was challenged for sure. So in the last 8 years, how. Because I'm actually feel really great now. Hopefully you can hear it in my voice, but I feel really good. And what were all the things that I did to kind of work with my whole being to go from being like literally flat out done, still taking care of three kids. I mean, they're still cleaning the house, still working every day. Like I did it all while I was healing. And how did I do that? So that's where originally the book came from. And when I suggested that to my dear friend Lisa, who is one of the publishing team and just awesome person at Mango Publishing Company, she was like, "Awesome idea." And she ran with it and came back, "How about it's just for immunity because these tools cross over." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then pandemic happened. Like this is all happening within like weeks of each other. And they're like, "I think this is important. Can you start now?" And I'm like, "Yes." So beginning of the pandemic, I started writing and actually with, because again, I was homeschooling all the kids and it was a lot going on here. I really was using the tools. Getting up at 4 a.m. and writing from 4 to 7:30 every morning before I started them on their day. And my littlest at that point couldn't read, so he couldn't work Zoom. Like we were really like, yeah. So it was hard. It was really hard. Yeah, now he's better than I am at it all.
Of course,
So
I
right. So anyway, that's a very long answer, but so that brought me to yoga to support immunity. And for me, it's a habit book, Tressa. It's like, what do we do every day? How do we think? How do we breathe? How do we move? And it's those things together that create the experience, the whole experience. Where are we disjointed? I say, where is my right hand cleaning and my left hand messing it up? See, these are the areas I got to look and watch my patterns because I got plenty of those in my life, right? And then bring them together. So my right and left are working together, where my heart and my head are in alignment, where my actions and my best interest are one. And then I proceed. That's really the book. In a yogic framework. The book is kind of like a beginner's manual and an advanced kind of advanced beginner manual altogether. And I say advanced beginner because aren't we all beginners, even if somehow we've been doing it a while? So the book really starts on let's look at how we're thinking. Let's look at mindset. And so there's a lot of inventory. So there's three sections, and the first section is clarity. And it really is about that. Like, let's get clear. Let's get clear. What do you want? What are you doing that's working for you, that's in alignment with what you want? And what are you doing that's going opposite of what you want? And how can we begin to look? The yogis called it svadhyaya, self-study. How can we study ourselves? So this section of clarity has four chapters. The first chapter is mindset. And along the way, I try to share, like I say, okay, svadhyaya, that's self-study. Like, I try to share the yogic lineage, the Sanskrit, without being overwhelming. But give like a deeper view. So it's not just surface. And if you want to go deeper, you have the ability to go deeper. And then we go, okay, so now we've kind of adjusted how we're thinking, and we're getting clear on how we're thinking. How are we moving the body? Because it's really, if the body's in pain, and that body's in pain because there's too much inflammation. The body's in pain because you're not moving it around enough. The body's in pain because you're not eliminating like your bowels or whatever, because you're not moving it around enough. All the different things, right? So let's look at what the body's doing. And here are some, like, the greatest hits. Here are simple greatest hits that if you do these things, you're going to start to feel better. One, my favorite, which I teach all the time to like everybody, hey, nice to meet your grandma. Let's get her up and get her moving. Is what I call the daily essential sequence. It's literally just 3 minutes, and it's moving the spine in all directions. The spinal column is our fountain of youth. It also, in that spinal column, we have all the major organs. So it's like, how can we increase our circulation, decrease our inflammation, and feel better? And it only takes not even 3 minutes. So, it's that kind of, it's like, it's in small bites, it's accessible, it's easy to integrate, but it's not dumb. There's a difference. It's not yoga for dummies, right? So there's plenty in there where it's like, okay, you need a little more sales to make this work for you. Let's go through the list of all the things that it's helping, the inflammation, what's happening with the oxygen. Oh, that gratitude moment that you're just like, oh, whatever, gratitude. It's so woo-woo, that moment for you, I hear you, but it's releasing endorphins, serotonin, like, it's releasing this amazing dopamine, kind of beautiful cocktail of healing chemicals in your body. So let's look at that, right? So I give that along the way. It's just good sales, I think. And then, trust, I just keep going. So then the next chapter is breathing, because that's really going to affect our nervous system and how we, become resilient. And then the fourth chapter in that section is, how do we put it all together in what I call sequences? So it's like, okay, yeah, I have all these tools. How do I put them together in a simple way? So put them together for if you're stuck in a chair. I put them together if you are not feeling well, right? I was thinking a lot of our friends who are COVID recovery, what should they be doing to help their lungs? So these are the sequences, these small mini sequences that are every fourth in every segment, every fourth chapter in that segment are just sequences. So it tries to make it as like you could jump in at any place, especially if you're already kind of like a yogi, or you could read it from cover to cover. And it just keeps going, to detox. So clarity, detox, and then full integration at the very end.
And congratulations on this being a finalist. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. You know what I'm really especially excited about? It was librarians and editors who were the pool of judges. So that made me really, I really like the idea of librarians. I'm like,
Yes.
I love what you're doing. Keep us alive. So I'm very
Yes.
honored. I'm, very honored that that's the case. I was just happy to be a finalist. Like, what an
Yes.
honor.
Oh
Yeah.
my
I'm just happy
gosh.
anyone picked it up beyond my parents. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know. Oh, it's so wonderful. And well, now please do tell us. So folks want to, other folks who want to pick this up, where can they find it?
What really, you should be able to find it anywhere books are sold. If it's not in your local bookstore, which I, gosh, I love if you have a local bookstore. I know in the Berg, there's still some great local bookstores. Is it Penguin Bookshop? Penguin Bookshop. Have you
Yes.
been there, Tressa?
Yes.
These super sweet people who run Penguin Bookshop. Did an event for them, a Fierce Kindness event,
Oh.
5 years ago or
Oh
something
my
like that. That
gosh.
was super fun to be ho back home and to get to do an event. But if your local bookshop doesn't have it, just ask them and they'll order it. Of course, you can get it off Amazon, any time or day, and bookshop, Target, it's everywhere.
Love it. And well, there are many wonderful things said about you from other. I'm gonna do one little quote here from Morgan King, member of the US Olympic weightlifting team, who says, "Yoga and physical health go beyond our moments on the mat. Melanie Salvatore August is able to spread her loving practice and yoga knowledge in a way that speaks to every human."
That's nice.
I mean, there's so
Yeah.
many wonderful things said about you and what you're doing and then the book itself. But like you were saying,
Thankful.
how it's for like you're saying like advanced beginners, but it's everybody. And I just think that, and that is something that I think that is unique about it is it is, people who have been practicing for a long time, those who aren't really sure what it might be, but that there's a place for everybody. And something for everybody to gain from it.
Well, thank you for that. I also think, like, don't let the word immunity scare you, right? It's funny, I taught at a conference just a couple of weeks ago, and the students were, "We thought it was going to be so much more dry." And I was like, "No, you know what? We're talking abundance here. We're talking whole being health, and there is nothing dry and boring about being healthy and joyful and abundant. There's,
Yeah.
it's not boring. It's not dry. It actually is a self-fulfilling kind of thing, because the better you feel, the better you feel, and the more you want to do, because the proof is in the pudding, right? It's so don't be scared of immunity. Don't be scared of the word yoga. It's really just like, how do you help yourself feel better? That's what I think. Like, if I would go back, be like, okay, let's not use any of these fancy words. That's what the book would be. Help yourself feel better.
Yeah. I
Maybe
cannot
that's
wait.
the next one.
Maybe there you
That's the
go.
next one that has cartoons in it,
There you go.
because it has to be really
Yes.
simple. Help
Because
yourself feel better. I
that's.
love what you're doing here, Tressa. I love what you're doing, and your voice is just such a delight. It's like delicious. It's a wonderful kind of meal. So you should keep talking. You should
Thank
just
you.
keep talking and talking.
Oh no, wait, I'll tell my husband you said that. He'll be like, see, some people
Right?
like don't encourage her.
Yeah, right. Some people really like when I talk.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So what is there? I know it's a big question, but do you have a favorite part about the work that you do or a favorite?
Yeah. Gosh, there's a bunch of things that I'm really thankful for and really enjoy. And it does carry, when I say enjoy, there that joy. Like, there is at least I can really feel that current of joy that comes through just the work. And I experience it, and I'm very thankful, and I love seeing that current of joy get expanded in those that, we're working together. Like, I always think of it's a recipe, we're working together. It's not just me, it's not just the yoga, it's all of it together. And when that current of joy or life force or whatever it is moves, it's a really beautiful thing to witness and to be a part of, right? I feel like it heals me when somebody else is tapping into that current and I can see them growing stronger and healing and shifting. And the just the look, I won't even say in their eyes, because I can see it in just the glow of their skin, right? Just what emanates from them. And I'm saying them because I can't necessarily see myself. I can feel it within me, but I'm actually visually seeing whoever I'm working with or the group that we're working with. That is, it's very inspiring to see people in real time transform. And I love it.
I love this time that we've just shared.
Me too.
I do, and I'm so grateful for it. And grateful
Me
for
too.
you and all you're doing. You're helping people, but just the light that you're bringing and the joy, you've used that word a few times, and the joy that you're bringing to others.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You right back at you.
So yeah, we have
Yeah.
to, yeah.
Yes, 100%. All yes, A to Z. What it will say too, just officially, if you like, or officially, unofficially, whatever. It takes courage. So to you, long lost friend Tressa, to any of the friends who are listening, it takes courage. And the more you take care of yourself, the more you witness your own patterns, and the more you help your right hand and your left hand come together, and the more confident you're going to be, and the more courage you're going to have to share your voice and share your heart and help others, whether you're helping one person or you're helping a million people. Like, your voice needs to be heard. Like, your love needs to be shared. And to be a positive force for change, just do it.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Tressa.
How are you today?
Oh, I am peachy keen, Jelly Bean. How are you?
Oh, my.
I know.
I am good.
Good.
Thank you.
You're
Thank you for
welcome.
asking. Thank you for being here.
As always, as if there was a choice.
Yeah. Well,
I
okay.
mean,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, did I say that?
That was that what? That was
Inside
your,
voice.
yeah, you want to work on that?
Inside voice.
You want to work on that.
It's
I have to say this.
radio, huh?
I'm actually very excited for you to hear my chat with Melanie that you've not yet heard, that the audience just has.
Oh,
I think you're going to love it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I think
I
you
know,
are.
it's always a surprise. I wait until the episode is published before I listen to anything. So it's,
Yeah.
yeah.
So we're here. Is there anything you'd like to share? We'll get right to it, I suppose.
We'll get right to it.
All right. Name that.
That neighborhood.
Oh,
Oh.
wow. Well, Don, I am making your day.
Four
There are only four
statements.
statements of
Of
fact
fact.
for
Yes.
you.
Thank
Your
you.
neighborhoods.
Yes.
Jeanette. What?
That's a name.
It is a name. Or Richland Township.
Okay.
Okay.
All
So
right.
Jeanette.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know very little about Jeanette.
Westmoreland County.
I got you.
That
Okay.
region.
Sure.
I mean, let's just hop in,
Why
or
not?
whatever the verb is.
Yeah, dive.
Thank you. That sounds much better. Number one. Once home to seven glass factories, including the Chambers and McKee Glass Works, which opened in 1888, this neighborhood earned the nickname the Glass City.
Well, we're going to give a shout out to Jeanette. Right or wrong, we're going for it.
I love that attitude. Mm. Especially when you're right.
Yay!
It is Jeanette. Yeah, 1888. So this Chambers and McKee Glassworks, this was the first one to move into the area. And citing lack of space and rising taxes in the city of Pittsburgh, James Chambers and H. Sellers McKee moved their glass factories to Jeanette. So each of them were the head of their family's glass factory.
Mm.
And then they decided to partner up to form one together. Also, the area, Jeanette, wasn't called that until after they moved there when Mr. McKee named it after his wife.
I knew it was a name of someone.
You're right. So how sweet is that?
That's very sweet. James Chambers is a name. That's a name.
I'm sorry.
No, James
like
Chambers.
Elaborate. Like, yeah, yeah.
No,
like a
no,
good
it's
name.
Like
it's a good name.
A solid name.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Anyway.
And so Chambers and McKee also bought up a number of farms in the area and built houses on that land for the people who worked at the glass factory. And in the early 1900s, Jeanette became the home of the first company to produce sheet glass. In the mid-1900s, Jeanette became the home of the only glass factory that produced flat, plate, sheet, and patterned rolled glass. They're not fooling around with that nickname.
Heck no, they're not. City. The Glass City.
By the way, in addition to naming the city itself, Chambers and McKee named the main street in Jeanette Clay Avenue after Richard W. Clay, who helped support the men financially.
Well, look at that. Is it true that people who live in Glass City should not throw stones?
I do believe that is true. I do believe that's true. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, a little sidebar. So Chambers was born in Pittsburgh, and while he was a student at the Pennsylvania Military Academy, he was at Ford's Theater the night Lincoln was assassinated.
No.
Yeah. He saw the president sitting in the box after the shooting, watched them carry him out to the house across the street.
How morbid.
Yeah. Oh. But giving an idea, too, of time. I mean, I know we talked about the factory opened in 1888, but that, of course, would have been 1865. So interesting.
Huh. Way to end it on a downer.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I should have thought of that.
That's okay.
Number two. This neighborhood was the last Pittsburgh area stop on the Underground Railroad.
Richland Township.
You said it like you knew it, and you did know it.
Hmm?
What did I just say?
I don't know. You said it like you knew
done.
It.
Well done. Yeah. Okay. Confidence is everything.
Yeah.
Well done, Don.
Thank you.
It is true, and specifically Bakerstown. You know, there's a few different neighborhoods
the
within the
township,
of course. So, two of the buildings that were used as part of the Underground Railroad are still standing and in pretty good shape, too. So, one is a large brick building at the intersection of Bakerstown and Heckert Roads. And it's now a bakery called Sweet Bee Sweet Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is right there on Bakerstown Road. It's the Hull House, or also known as the William Brickell House, and now is part of the Benedictine Sisters of Pittsburgh Convent.
Hmm.
And so, so escaped slaves would reach these sites after making it to Bennett Station in Millvale, which was both an actual railway station and an underground one. And a gentleman by the name of Thomas McElroy would drive passengers in a covered wagon from Millvale. From Millvale, is what I meant to say, up Evergreen Plank Road to Bakerstown. And then after stopping in Bakersfield, a farmer named Gilland used his wagon to help them on the next part of their journey further north.
It's fitting that the structure that's in Bakerstown is now a bakery.
That is, yes. I wonder if they have more than one bakery or if they're the one bakery. I doubt it.
Yeah, there's probably more bakeries in Bakerstown.
I would think so.
As so, the name implies. But so, no, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number three, the You Are Here Art Gallery in this neighborhood opened their third Women in Art exhibition in April of this year, featuring the work of 28 local artists.
Well, I'm in support of the women in art theme, I'm going to go with Jeanette, the female name.
Oh. And you would be correct.
Oh.
Well done. By whatever means, Don.
Yeah. Whatever means necessary.
It is Jeanette. Mm-hmm. So participating artists were invited to show up to 3 pieces each. And the works that they submitted had to stick to the theme of visual voice. So with each submission, each artist had to include a statement that started with, I use my visual voice to speak to blank.
Blank. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't it? And it was curated by Maureen Visat-Kuchanik, an art history professor at Seton Hill, and artist Phoebe Waltzak, a former You Are Here intern.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is their third one, and it runs through June 4th. Yeah.
I'm a big supporter of women artists.
Yep. So we should try to check it out.
We
only have a couple weeks, but...
We should go to there, and then you'd be here.
This is devolving. Let's just move on.
Please. Please. One more. There's one more. Blissfully, there is one more, Tressie.
Number 4. This neighborhood has recently been selected to serve as a pilot program for electric-powered school buses.
Richland Township.
You were ready for that as if you knew it, and you are correct.
Yeah.
A perfect score for you this day.
This day.
Don, I'm so proud. Yes, Richland Township. So they are receiving a state grant to launch this program, and it will determine the feasibility of replacing buses that run on fossil fuels with electric vehicles, or EVs. As we in the biz say.
In the biz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are adding 3 electric buses to Pine Richland's fleet. And the fleet currently runs on propane. But these electric buses are expected to be delivered during or in time for the 2022-2023 school year.
Propane, you say?
I do.
Others would say propane.
Oh my gosh!
That's
propane. I've always said it that way.
You're in the biz.
I'm so...
You know the EVs and the propane?
Propane. Hmm. Propane. Okay, well, this is interesting to listen to. But I'm fascinated now. I've always said it that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I'll look into that. Sure. So, yeah.
And I do want to... spend a lot of time. No.
Next week, on Name That Neighborhood... I do want to give a shout out to Tony LaRussa of the Pine Creek Journal for a lot of the info I got on that one.
Okay.
Just gonna say.
Not Tony LaRussa of the baseball.
Correct. Is he LaRusso or LaRussa? Is it an A?
LaRussa? Okay, I believe, yeah, but I don't want the fact checkers to get on me.
Sure. But Don.
Yeah.
I think you're glowing.
Am I?
I think you are from this perfect score.
Aw. I'm glowing like I've been lit with propane.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm. I'm shining. Like a gas-powered grill.
Okay,
light burns bright.
We're going to wrap this up.
You should.
Okay.
You should probably stop this before it goes any further.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
You're welcome. As always.
As always.
I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Always a pleasure, that Don DiGiulio. And on that note, we're going to bring this episode 55, to a close. Thank you again so much for tuning in and for joining me, for joining us for yet another episode. And huge thanks and much love to Melanie Salvatore August. Thank you for the wonderful conversation. And listeners, please do be sure to check our show notes for all of Mel's info, where to find her on social media, how to follow her, and of course, pick up a copy of her book, Yoga to Support Immunity, or any of her books. You will not be sorry that you did. I wish you a peaceful and happy week ahead, surrounded by those you love and those who love you right back. And until next time, my friends, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks to Don DiGiulio and, as always, for our most fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.